It's a wonderful verse of scripture, actually, from Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. And some of us could take a verse like this and speak on it for a really, really long time, but it isn't how long. It's what we get out of it, what the Holy Spirit reveals to us that really makes a difference. So Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, and I have it in the NIV version today. And if you say you got it, you got it, and there it is up there for you. I mean, it's just instant. We're one of those places now where things happen nearly instantly. In season and out of season, right? We're to be ready. It says, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you shall draw water from the wells of salvation." And for a long time I didn't quite make the connection between verse 2 and verse 3. And sometimes I would think about verse 3 because I saw a lot of meat and potatoes in verse 3. But there's a lot more in verse 2. Surely, and this is only a question that can, because every time I read I get these questions, you know, that I ask, surely God is my salvation. And so when you see the word surely, think New Testament. How many times have you seen in the old King James English Jesus said, "Verily, verily"? Surely is like the same word, not surely, but surely. Like surely, goodness and mercy, those three that follow you all the days of your life. I never forgot that. this is a vital verse because it establishes the fact for the individual that God is my salvation. And salvation belongs to the Lord. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. We've spent a long time Tuesday nights in our New Believers Discipleship class talking about these kind of things for new believers or people that may have sat in church for a year and a half to 2 years and never had any teaching and just got a lot of preaching. And they don't even know things like this. They've not been taught. So you're not ignorant of these things. But surely, God is my salvation. That's part of our testimony. You know, several of you made mention this morning about coming under attack of the enemy. Well, one of the first ways that you overcome is by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. When you start coming back at the enemy, when he's lying to you, because that's all he can do is lie, you got to remember that. Whenever the devil talks to you, he can't speak the truth. He has no idea what the truth is. It's not even in his existence. All he can do is lie. So whatever he told you this week, it's a big fat lie. He's a liar and he's going in the fire. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a good thing. When he starts talking to you, you start talking to him. Get that word coming out of your mouth and release it. Because it's just as powerful when you speak it as when God speaks it. And it says, "I will trust and not be afraid." Did you notice this is personal? I will trust. My kids can't live on our faith anymore. There comes a day when everyone's going to have to stand up for themselves. I can't, you can't live on mine, and I can't live on yours. There's going to be a day coming, and it ought to be at hand now, when you're going to stand up and say, "I will trust, and I'm not going to be afraid, because I've learned in the Word that God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." And if you need to lay hands on your head every once in a while, Jesus said, "Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So if that means you, do it. And who cares what it looks like? But you need to start confessing the Word over your mind. Because that's where the enemy attacks. He always attacks our thought life. Because that's all he's got. That's his best shot. Because he knows if he can get your mind thinking on stuff, you know what happens from there if you don't deal with it. When it's a thought, then it isn't long and it becomes reality. "I will trust and not be afraid." That's personal. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He's the only one I can go to that provides strength. And even Paul's prayers in the New Covenant, he prayed for the believers to be strengthened in their inner man by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in them. There's a strength in the physical that's going to run out. But the strength that God gives you in the Spirit will never run out. You may get neglectful, and your battery runs down a little bit, but we have Duracell. That's the Holy Ghost, Duracell. I don't know why we keep him in a box under here, you know. Ah, never mind with that. And he's my defense. There are times when no one else can protect us. No one else can go to bat for us. No one else knows the truth of what's really going on. Because a lot of times things aren't what they appear to be. And those are the times when God comes to your rescue. He comes to your defense. When you don't have someone to defend you, when you don't have someone looking out for you, God is always looking out for you, and he's always looking out for your good. He doesn't harm you. He does good. God is good. He's a good, good father, isn't he, Dennis?
Yes.
Amen. Yes, he is. I knew you'd get an amen. That's why you came today, to say amen that. Because I know that's true, because we share the same father, and he's a good, good father, and that's who he really is. The devil don't like that. He has become my salvation. Couldn't save ourselves. Not even worth trying. And so then we come to this conclusion. And one word that the Old English uses, right in before with joy, it says therefore. That's the connecting word between verse 2 and verse 3. Because God is my salvation, and because he's the one that I choose to trust and not get into fear, he, the Lord himself, is my strength and my defense. He's become my salvation. And therefore, because of these things, because of these facts, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. I want to go a little direction here. You know, we talked about Ezekiel's vision a few weeks ago about the river of life that flows out of the temple, and how that was a vision that Ezekiel had of the temple. But now in the new covenant, were the temple not made with hands? And because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, there's a river of water, living water, that flows out of each of us. And that's really important. And so we have something to offer. And so with joy, you will draw water out of the wells of salvation. When we come together, and sometimes people think, you know, what good is testimony time? What is it that we share at the beginning of a service? If people aren't familiar with a very free-flowing service like this, their guys are a bunch of flakes. You know. But if you listen, there is water coming out of your well. Your well is not stopped up. You're the well of salvation. You're that deposit where God deposited himself inside of you, the Holy Ghost, and all his attributes, all his character, all of his nature, all of his strength, all of his power, all of his anointing is in you. And you have something. You're just swimming wall to wall God inside there. You're just such a well of all of the treasures and all the goodies that God has poured down on the inside of each one of you. You're that well of salvation. Why? Because of verse 2. Because of what God did, not what we did. We just became a willing vessel to allow him, because he doesn't force himself on anybody. We allowed him and invited him to be the most important part of our life. The very source of life itself dwells within each of us as believers. And when we do that, we become a well filled with the richness and the goodness of God. And other people can draw on that. There's not a person in this room that you can't call and say, I'm in trouble, help. What do you got? Will you pray for me? Do you have a word from the Lord for me? Well, actually, the truth is we should seek God for our own word. But there's still times when there are people that do have a word, and they're going to hear it through your testimony. They might have come today waiting to hear God. Well, I hope you're hearing him now, because he's already spoken to us from the time we came in here this morning. But you got to have an ear to hear. Did not Jesus say,
right,
he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church? We can do a lot of talking, but when God speaks, you have to listen by the Spirit. We have to listen from our hearts. and there's so much more to be received that way. And this is a tremendous verse to me, because it brings the reality of our salvation. It brings the reality of His presence in our lives, the importance of realizing the value of what we have. And to God, you're the most valuable thing that He has. How long has it been since somebody told you that? Has it been at least a day? That you're His pearls of great price, you're His treasures, you're the most valuable possessions that He has. You go home and think about that the next time you want to beat yourself up or beat somebody else up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think on that.